Episode 115, Can Superman Save the Justice League? And Other News.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
And I am Ben DeMoro. We are back. On this day after the Super Bowl, Matt.
Yes, recording here February 4th.
So Brian Straylow Studios.
Did your team win?
You know, I didn't really have a dog in that fight, but, you know, Matt Burke, who is the Ravens center, used to be the Vikings center, and so I was kind of pulling for him. So, yeah.
I think I mentioned on the show maybe a couple weeks back I was going to be rooting for the 49ers.
And they did not win.
I loved it when the blackout happened because I thought, oh, my gosh, this is their chance. Because they came back a totally different team.
Yeah, they did.
And I felt an intensity in my stomach that I didn't expect out of this game.
Oh,
I was so nervous at the end. I just wanted them to win so bad.
By the time we got to the end, I had a fair amount of alcohol in my bloodstream.
Do you mind if I read an email you sent me?
I sent you this mid-game. Go ahead.
Is that okay?
Yeah, so go ahead.
During the game, I had emailed you and asked you, because the idea of our next episode, which we'll tease at the end of the news episode, was yours.
Yeah.
And so I had sent you a message saying, could you send me an outline or what are you looking at that you want to talk about? And this is word for word what you said. I do have an outline, but after 4+ beers while watching the Super Bowl, I'm not sure I can actually describe out accurately right now. Smiley face. I can re-email you in the morning. Otherwise, I have enough to lead the conversation.
Yep.
Do you remember typing that?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. So, you know my friend, our friend Tim. I was at his house.
Oh,
so nice. I had 4 beers.
Does Tim listen to the Sci-Fi Christian?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Let's tell him to listen to this episode, and then we can say, hello, Tim.
Hi, Tim.
Good to see you.
Yeah.
I haven't seen you in months, actually.
But he has a drink that he and his brother invented called the Dream Maker.
So you're talking about brewing your own beer.
No, this is not your own beer. This is like a mixed drink.
Because you brew your own beer.
I do. I'm on my second batch right now.
How's it going?
It's going good. I really enjoyed the first batch. Quite tasty. But the Dream Maker apparently consisted of gin, vodka, Gentleman Jack whiskey, tonic water, and energy drink. So,
which energy?
NOS. Are you familiar with NOS energy drinks?
No, I'm not.
Okay, well, it had some NOS energy drinks in there, so I had a couple of those. And then I had a root beer barrel. Are you familiar with root beer barrels?
I like root beer barrels.
Those little pieces of candy? No.
Oh.
This is like you put a shot of root beer schnapps in a beer.
I'm not familiar.
Okay, so I had those.
You might not remember because we haven't talked about this in a while. I don't drink.
I know. Oh, okay. But you might still be familiar like with the concept.
Yeah.
Yeah, so my wife drove home.
Good. Safety first.
Yeah, safety first. And that's important for everyone out there. Don't drink and drive. You might think you can, but that's the alcohol talking.
Okay. What was the point of this story? Game.
Oh, yeah. I was not I was watching that. Oh, I cared, but it was like, you know, alcohol makes you kind of tired. So I was just relaxed, and we all thought, you know, the other three guys there were drinking as well, and so everything was really funny, and it was a great time.
Right now, all of our listeners that were with us back in season one are like, just praying that you'll become Protestant again.
It's not going to happen.
Catholic Ben is so much more liberal with his theology and his character.
No, the other three people there were Protestant, though. Oh, so, you know.
Okay. Who had drank the most, though?
Me.
Yeah, exactly.
I think. I wasn't keeping track of everyone else's beer intake.
This is such a weird conversation to have on our show, wouldn't it?
I'm sorry. It's the Super Bowl.
Do you want to plug Game of Thrones beers that you're going to be advertising?
Oh, yeah, haven't we done that?
Yeah, but I mean, this seems like a good opportunity.
Oh, yeah. April or March 30th, the day before Game of Thrones season three debuts. And ironically, the same day that I officially become a Catholic.
Oh,
enter
yes.
the church. Game of Thrones beer is coming out.
Is that at the cathedral?
No.
When's the day at the cathedral that me and Des are going to come in?
I don't know yet. I think we'll probably find out in the next couple weeks.
I should. Des and I will be
Des
coming.
Des and I, yeah. So that'll be fun.
Hey, speaking of Des, you know, people out there have been asking
fiance
me.
Fiance Des.
My fiance. People have been asking me like, hey, what's going on? Tell me, give us some updates on the show. We like hearing about your wedding. I know it's a sci-fi show, but it's fun to talk about romance.
Yeah.
So tons of emails like that, phone calls galore. Just wanted to let everybody know, we booked a date. We booked the site where we're having the reception and the ceremony, both.
Yeah.
And So because it's booked, we know the day. Are you ready, Ben?
I'm ready.
This is official. It's been going back and forth. Is it going to be August 10th? Is it going to be Friday, August 9th? Once and for all, Friday, August 9th,
all right.
2013. Yay. Matt Anderson gets married. Do you want to get to the news, or do you have any other banter?
Well, the other thing I was going to think about was Super Bowl. Do you see that Scientology ad?
Yeah, I saw the end of it, weird. Where they gave the website.
Yeah.
Okay, since we're talking about the Super Bowl, well, go ahead. What did you think about the Scientology?
I don't know. I didn't see it all. I just knew that you had recorded with Corey an episode on Scientology.
Yeah, he organized that. Listen to this. They showed, not a commercial or a trailer for Iron Man 3, but an actual part of a scene. Did you see this?
Yeah.
I didn't like that. I don't like that idea that we're actually watching a scene. Like, that could be a sweet scene. Save it for the movie. Don't show us what's going to happen.
Yeah. So I was watching it with people who maybe are not as familiar with my movie preferences, and that came on. I was like, no more Iron Man! Yeah, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
You kidding?
I missed the one for World War Z, which I was excited to see.
I missed that, too.
Star Trek looks so good.
Yeah.
That's
Benedict Cumberbatch.
That's the movie I'm most anticipating this summer.
I would agree.
Iron Man 3 should be good, but Star Trek Into the Darkness, Into Darkness.
Into Darkness.
That's the one for me.
Yeah.
Good. All right. Here we go.
It's time for sci-fi news.
What happened?
I just butchered it.
What? What? We're usually kind of good.
Yeah. Helps when you have the music to sing along to.
You don't have the music?
No. I got the music. I just was doing it different tonight.
Okay, good.
Trying a little something new.
So you opened us up with the title, which is, Can Superman Save the Justice League?
Yes.
Take it away.
Apparently, this came out this week that we've all been hearing Justice League's going to be 2015. That, you know, it's a sure thing. They're recruiting directors, apparently, all this stuff. They've got the lineup published. Well, not so fast, everyone. Apparently, Justice League is dependent on how Man of Steel does at the box office this summer.
What?
Yeah. If Man of Steel tanks, there will be no Justice League.
Do you think that's true?
Yes. You know, you don't usually eat on the show.
I know.
It's like you're trying to interact, but
I'm trying to hide it.
That chicken's just taking a while to get ground up.
I'm starving.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Tell me a little bit more about this.
Yeah, so I think I kind of spelled out the general formula. I don't know how much more there is to tell, but do I think
it
will happen?
Stall for me.
Do I think it will happen? If Man of Steel tanks, then yes, there will be no Justice League.
That's exactly what the news is.
You asked me I thought it was true, and I'm confirming that I believe it's true.
This is what I think is going to happen.
Okay.
Man of Steel is going to do awesome.
Probably.
Super good, because Christopher Nolan. People think that he's directing it. They're going to be fooled into going.
Yeah.
But then, surprisingly, it's going to end up being a good movie.
Yeah.
That's my prediction.
I think so, too.
I think that it is going to be the sleeper hit of the summer.
But now I kind of want it to tank.
Oh, interesting.
Because I don't really want another Avengers-type movie.
I know that's how you feel.
Yeah.
But I think you stand alone in our audience.
I think I stand alone, period.
I'm rooting for Superman, and that's a first.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm rooting for the movie. I don't know how I feel about Superman, and we'll see.
So, in conclusion, Superman, Man of Steel, it's going to do fine. We'll see Justice League. I don't know if they can get it done by 2015, though. If they are waiting to see how the Man of Steel is received, I don't see how they can put together a director, a story, all that stuff, and get that all ready in time for 2015. Same thing with Star Wars. We've been talking about Episode 7. I don't think it's coming out in 2015. So,
yeah, so 2015 was looking like it was going to be Geekgasm year.
Well, they're actually calling it Nerdpocalypse or something
Like
that.
Yeah, that works too.
Yeah.
And apparently it's not going to be, or it's at least the sci-fi Christians predicting
it's that
the Nerdpocalypse will be delayed.
Well, because we'll still have Avengers in 2015, but not JLA. But
who cares about that?
I care.
I know.
Look what we're playing tonight.
You're watching Avengers, and you have old Mickey Mouse cartoons on for me.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So I appreciate that. Yeah. I actually remember watching some of these.
Yeah, it's kind of fun, isn't it?
So, yeah, good times.
So, all right, let's go to the next news item.
Do you want to hear, we had a sci-fi Christian host call in and leave us some news?
I think that's a great idea.
So this next couple people. He left two voicemails.
Oh, is this a good opportunity for me to get some more food?
Yeah, go for
it. Okay, I'm going to turn my microphone down then.
Okay.
And this one, I think.
Yeah, how about you try and eat? We've got two voicemails from Daniel
Butcher.
You want
to play them back to back and then we can talk about
it? Yeah, we'll play them back to back.
All right, we'll be back.
Okay. A little bit of dead air there.
I said, hey, where's Daniel Butcher and Cody?
Pause it for
on
a second.
This phone note.
Sorry about that. I shut the microphone off while you were still trying to talk.
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
How about I'll have my microphone on in case I need to chime in. You turn yours off because you're going to be eating.
All right, this is Matt Anderson. Sign
off. And, yeah, so I'm going to play Daniel's first message right now.
Hey, where's Daniel Butcher and Cody on this phone note, on this message? I bring great tidings of good joy to Ben DeBono because it has been announced that Star Wars in 3D has been put on hiatus.
Yay!
There will be no future 3D Star Wars pictures in 2013, 2014, or 2015. The word, the official story behind this is they are going to be working exclusively on Episode 7 and don't have times for the 3D releases. However, I believe that this is Disney speak for you're not going to get any 3D films. Because while this decision is being made, Disney has also announced that they are not doing some 3D releases that they had previously put dates out for, specifically Little Mermaid in 3D. Why? Because the 3D revolution is not making the money that Disney wants to see. Despite The Lion King, when it came out at 3D, dominating the box office and coming out number one, the other films have been somewhat lackluster. I will be honest, as someone who saw Beauty and the Beast in 3D and Monsters, Inc. in 3D, some films just do not translate well into that format. But good tidings of great joy to Ben DeBono. Star Wars in 3D, not happening, which means less Star Wars. Carry on, gentlemen.
That was a good call.
Yeah. So do you want to talk about that one now?
Let's take that
or
first.
You want to eat some more dinner?
Number one. I love that the 3D is not working out.
Yes.
Because I hate so much 3D.
Oh, yeah.
And I want them to just stop that.
Yeah.
Stop it now. I'm against it.
Oh, I'm against it, too. Totally against it. And not just for Star Wars, for all movies.
Yeah, all movies. I'm against it.
Absolutely.
Number two. I didn't mind that they were releasing the Star Wars movies in 3D because I wasn't going to see them anyway.
Yeah.
So it didn't hurt me. But I like the fact that they're turning their attention to what's really important, which is Episode 7.
Yeah, I can't imagine that there were huge crowds flocking to see Episode 1 in 3D.
I know. It's weird, too, that they started with those. If they would have started with 4, 5, and 6, maybe then they would have had something.
Yeah.
But Lucas demands that they watch them in order now, just like when C.S. Lewis reordered the Narnia books.
Yeah, well, he didn't. That happened after his death.
That it was his choice, though. Like, he wanted it to happen.
But it never officially happened while he was alive. But, you know, I'm rereading them with my daughter. We just started Voyage of the Dawn Treader.
Oh, nice.
Two nights ago.
So did she like Prince Caspian?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Less than Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Prince Caspian has a very weird structure to it.
Talk about that a little bit.
You know, because the kids get back to Narnia at the very beginning, and then they rescue Trumpkin. At like chapter 2 or 3,
okay.
And then there's a long, about 4 or 5 chapter flashback to tell the story of Caspian up until that point.
Oh.
And so you don't see any of the main characters to that point. And then they, you know, you finally get back to them, and they're still stuck on the island that they've been on since the very first chapter. And you're about 2/3 of the way through the book. So it's got a really weird structure for it, and I don't think it entirely
Lewis,
works.
That idiot.
Oh, that idiot. What was he thinking?
Hey, can I – I want to come back to Daniel's news, but
yeah.
It's semi-Disney related, which is now under the umbrella he just talked about. We've been watching Avengers, as we've been talking about.
Well, I've been watching other Disney cartoons.
And they just had Loki. It's in the scene early in the movie where Loki kind of goes to like an astral plane, and he's sitting in one place, but all of a sudden you see another image of him going and talking to the character called The Other. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like that weird alien guy?
Yeah, I was watching that while we were playing The Message, and I realized I had no memory of that scene.
Okay, well, do you know who plays that? I mean, the guy has tons of makeup and tons of, you know, prosthetics on, but do you know who that is under that? Wesley Wynda Price.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that makes me like it a little more.
Yeah, and I've heard that that character may be coming back around for some of the other movies. Maybe not Avengers, but possibly Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, long time. What's his real name?
Alexis Denoff.
Yeah. So big time Joss Whedon.
I'm close to finishing Buffy season 4 and Angel season 1. So the next week when you come, can you bring me the next next seasons?
Yeah.
Like I have like, well, here, I actually kept it open so I could tell you. Nope, I didn't.
You know they're all on Netflix, though.
Yeah, that's true. I could just do that.
Okay. It's up to you. I don't care.
Well, let's talk about it off air.
Okay.
Okay, continue with Daniel's news.
Okay, so that's all of the first message.
Wait. So did you say everything you wanted to say about the...
I think so. Just happy 3D's dead. I don't want 3D in anything.
Okay.
So, hooray.
Hooray. Let's go to Daniel Butcher one more time.
Daniel Butcher, part two.
Disney has officially announced, gentlemen, that 1952 has been renamed Tomorrowland. Directed by Brad Bird, written by some guy that Matt Anderson seems to care about. This new title change makes us think that 1952 is something that's definitely associated with Disneyland. Before they made the announcement, Disney released Damon Lindelof, look at me murdering a name, released a photo of a black case that had pictures in it and other items. The pictures were of Walt Disney. A few days later, they announced the fact that this was now Tomorrowland. Today, D23, the official fan club of Disney, put out a photo that had a list of what every items in the case were, with, of course, several of them being tied to Walt Disney. So what is Tomorrowland? I'll be honest, I have no idea. 1952, when it was announced, just a case that showed pictures of Walt Disney, I had no idea what it would have to do with the history of Disney, Disneyland, or Walt Disney Studios. 1952 is not the year that Disneyland opened. It is not the year that Tomorrowland opened. In 1952, Walt Disney is beginning to think and plan for a future park, but it is far from a stated and clear project in many people's mind. Others have speculated that Tomorrowland will be a movie about Walt Disney, which I am somewhat apprehensive about, as the lead will be George Clooney. The reason I'm apprehensive is Tom Hanks will soon be seen as Walt Disney in the non-sci-fi movie Saving Mr. Banks, the story of Mary Poppins. So what is Tomorrowland? I have no idea. But if it's anything like Disneyland's Tomorrowland, it'll probably lack focus and be out of date within minutes. Later, boys.
Wait, what was that last part? What will lack focus?
Have you ever been to Disney World?
Mm-hmm.
So Tomorrowland's really cheesy, isn't it?
I can't remember.
It is. Okay. And so lack focus and be out of date in 2 minutes. It was a brilliant line and well played.
Well played, Daniel Butcher.
Yes.
Well played
indeed. So thank you. It's good to have a member of the A-team. I'm going to move him up.
Thank you.
He's A-team.
Yep.
Only him. Kobe is still a B-team, definitely. If not lower.
Like, how low could you get?
Z?
The Z team?
The Z team. I mean, Strangers and Aliens, you know, they're doing some good stuff.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying their... I just joined their book club on Goodreads.
Yeah, I know.
So
I like it.
Maybe we'll bump them up to the B team.
So Strangers and Aliens... Should we just say that Strangers and Aliens is actually a part of our network?
Isn't that what I've been doing for, like, the last 2 weeks?
But that's not really true. They're not part of our network.
They're not.
We don't own them yet.
Yet. But they've gone ahead and claimed them.
But Strangers and Aliens is basically a version of our show.
Yeah, it's the B version of Sci-Fi Christian.
All right, so...
And that's a compliment.
So Tomorrowland.
Yeah.
Do you think it's about Walt Disney? Yes or no?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Okay.
1952. I think it was just a working title. I don't think it was even meant to be like a trick.
Yeah.
I think it was just like Blue Harvest. Star Wars Episode IV's working title? I think 1952 was a working title, and yeah, so that's the end of that.
So it's not about Walt Disney?
Well, I mean, I don't know why it has to be, because they have there's movies out there that are about some of their attractions. There's the Mansion. Was that Haunted Mansion?
Yeah.
They have Pirates of the Caribbean. Yeah. I mean, they don't have to be about Walt Disney just because we steal a name
that's
from...
That's true. It's going to suck, though.
No, Damon Lindelof and Brad Bird wrote it together. Brad Bird's directing. Damon Lindelof is...
Layman Dindelhoff.
Is one of the greatest writers in our generation.
Of all time. It's like up there with Shakespeare. Yeah, it's going to suck. You heard it here first.
No, you heard it here first. This is what's going to put Damon Lindelof on the map.
That's didn't Lost already do that?
Again.
He'll be on the map twice.
So many maps,
so little time. We're on the map, don't you think?
Next piece of news, unless you have anything else you want to say about that.
No, go ahead.
Next piece of news, speaking of Disney, they have a live-action Cinderella movie coming out soon. Guess who's going to direct it?
Guillermo del Toro.
Wrong. It is the guy who directed Thor.
Oh, crap.
You liked it. Kenneth Branagh.
Yeah, but Thor sucked.
Whatever.
It did. That's like a scientific fact.
In other news, there's a movie coming out, and the title isn't just Hercules. The title is Hercules 3D.
Oh, crap. I'm against it. I mean, that's how you know a movie's going to be bad, when they put 3D in the title.
Have you ever heard of the author Rennie Harlan?
Yeah, well, he's not an author, I don't think.
No, I meant director.
He's a director, yeah. He did Deep Blue Sea, Die Hard 2.
Oh, you've heard of him.
Yeah, Cutthroat Island.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
He's doing Hercules 3D.
Oh, yeah, he's not a very good director.
Oh. Well, that's too bad.
I mean, Deep Blue Sea had its moments. Did you ever see that one?
No.
It's really not worth seeing, but the best part is Samuel Jackson is in it, and he's giving a giant inspirational... It's about sharks, so there's sharks that are eating people, and they're supposed to be like super smart sharks, and so, you know, you've got only a few survivors left, and Samuel Jackson's giving them an inspirational speech about how we can't give up, we'll stick together and we'll make it, and, you know, we all just have to pull our own weight, and we'll get there together, and then he, at the very end of his speech, he gets eaten by a shark, and it's pretty hysterical.
Spoiler alert, but awesome.
Yeah, well, nobody needs to see the movie.
No, okay, we saved them.
Yeah.
In other news, I'm kind of rolling with directing news here. Have you ever heard of the director Duncan Jones?
Oh, yeah, he did Moon.
Yes, correct.
Great movie.
Well, he's set to direct a new movie.
World of Warcraft.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
2015.
Ooh.
The apocalypse continues.
I don't think this is going to be good.
Oh, it's World of Warcraft. How could it be good?
Yeah, exactly.
How many listeners do you think that we have that are listening to us while they're playing World of Warcraft? At least three.
I don't know, because I think that they have to be fully immersed in the world. They don't miss any of the, you know, good chatter.
I don't get it.
Oh, no, I've tried to play World of Warcraft. You're not a video game fan at all, really.
Right, no.
And I am, but I've tried to play WoW a few times, and I hate it. Boring.
I would like to do an episode on video games, because we've never done one, as far as I can remember.
Yeah.
Never. And this is the 115th episode. There's none on video games.
Yeah.
We should probably get somebody on here to talk about World of Warcraft or something about video games. I don't know what we would say.
Yeah. I just finished replaying the original Doom.
Good work for you.
And Doom 2. Master levels of Doom 2.
You feel pretty good about yourself then?
Final Doom.
That's the thing. It's like, it's kind of cool. This is not about you specifically, but it's kind of like a cool accomplishment to finish the game. But
no one cares.
What really? It's like nothing. You've wasted hours of your life. Stop playing video games, people. Stop playing video games.
Yeah.
Go be with your wives. Go be with your children.
I do that, too. That's how I got children.
Okay. Next piece of news for you?
Next piece of news. We've made it, Matt. We are on the map.
What do you mean by that? Oh, you tried to segue into this earlier, and I stopped you.
No, it's okay.
Okay, go ahead. What happened?
You're on the map when you start getting remixes done of you.
You're lying.
I'm not lying.
Who did it?
So, let me back up a little bit.
This is amazing news.
You and I... Oh, Garfield's on now. That's interesting. I remember the Garfield cartoon.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably really sucks.
I put a bunch of cartoons on for you today.
Thank you. You and I, we have, you know, notifications all over the place. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. And we all don't always get the same ones.
You and me, you mean?
Yeah. I get some.
Actually, to be honest, you probably get way more than I do.
Oh, yeah. So I get the YouTube ones.
I had
an email last night after I got home from the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I was kind of relaxing. See, a video response posted to one of our YouTube videos.
Yeah.
Now you think, oh, that's interesting. You know, it's probably somebody on Game of Thrones, because we've had a few of those, and those are by far our most popular videos. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's not Game of Thrones. And I think, well, you know, your next guess would probably be it's maybe one of our movie reviews or something.
Yeah.
No, not one of those.
What is it?
Video response to the History of Christianity highlight reel. Somebody has remixed.
Let's hear it.
And it is called Triple Pope, featuring Ben DeVoto and Matt Anderson.
No. This is for real.
This is for real. So I bring you the world debut of Triple Pope. I don't know who did it. Their username
How long is this? Should I turn
it's 2 minutes.
Okay, I'm going to turn the volume down. Go ahead.
Okay. So Ignatius Weird. I don't know his real name. That's his YouTube name.
Actually, I'm going to leave the volume on so that we can just react.
So, Triple Pope featuring Ben DeBono and Matt Anderson. Huge.
This is so exciting. I've always wanted to be remixed.
It's just loading.
This is legitimate excitement. Separated the church, and there ended up being two popes, Ben. This is crazy.
Double popes.
Yeah, double popes. So one in Avignon and one in Rome.
Whoa.
Yeah.
It's a full-on double pope.
This is in two popes, Ben. This is crazy.
Double popes.
Yeah, double popes. So one in Avignon and one in Rome.
Whoa.
Yeah.
It's a full-on double pope. Across the sky. So intense.
That's very good. In two popes, Ben. This is crazy.
Double popes.
Yeah, double pope.
Is proceeding, and I have foreseen.
That for a time there were three popes.
Looks like it's starting to look like a triple pope. What does it mean? That's not that bad.
He ended up becoming the master pope. I don't know what you call them.
It's a trap! That's wild. One pope to rule them all. One pope to find them.
Exactly.
One pope to bring them all in the darkness, find them. In the land of Mordor, where the shadows lie.
Is that it?
Triple Pope.
That's amazing. Thank you to whoever did that. What's the person's name?
Ignatius Weird.
So the funny thing about that is I thought that they were remixing the History of Christianity highlight reel I made.
Yeah.
But they had to have actually listened to the episode.
To get to the Triple Pope.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing.
So whoever you are, please let us know.
Yeah, email us immediately.
And make more remixes.
Everybody should make these remixes.
Yes.
Wait.
Screw the current contest.
Well, no, we can't say that.
We can't say that.
But this is it. This is the next contest. Oh, start thinking right now, people, because the details aren't... We're not telling you the details right now, but the next contest... Exactly. It's going to be a remix, a song like that. That is...
Amazing.
Amazing.
Yes.
I can't believe that happened.
I couldn't either.
What?
Like, honestly, when I saw a video response to History of Christianity highlight reel, I thought it was going to be somebody cussing us out for being Christians or something.
Yeah.
Or just the sheer lack of quality involved with the History of Christianity.
Come on. Come on. That was pretty good stuff.
It got remixed. Awesome.
Yes.
So
that vindicates the History of Christianity.
It was all worth it.
It was all worth it.
Yes.
I have never been this happy on this. Well... This is one of the happiest moments of the Sci-Fi Christian for me
now. This is awesome. This is awesome.
Wow. Thank you, person that made that. I ask you to email me at matt@thescifichristian.com so that I can thank you personally. But in words.
Yes.
Through email.
Yes. And so we can thank you on the show because you deserve some serious acknowledgement for that.
Wow. Let's play it again at the end of the show, but without our laughing over it.
Okay, so we'll turn off our microphones and just have a Triple Pope remix edition.
Wow. I don't even want to talk about another news item.
Last news of the day.
I'll take some more, but nothing is... That's the best thing.
Nothing else. The show is only going to go downhill from here.
Yes, that was the highlight of the show.
We peaked.
Until get to the end of the episode and listen to that again, and that's where it comes back around.
Yes.
Michael Bay says that they've redesigned everything for Transformers 4. I don't even want to discuss this.
No, he sucks. How much more news do you have?
Transformers 4 takes place 4 years after Transformers 3.
You got a lot of Transformers news.
No, that's one news item.
Oh.
Next up, I don't know if you're familiar with the ABC TV show called Revenge.
I'm not.
There's an actress on there who's the main character. Her name is Emily Van Camp, and she is in talks to play the lead female in Captain America, The Winter Soldier.
Oh. What about the girl that was in the first Captain America?
She'll be dead because it takes place in modern time, and she's right. From World War II.
Yes. Well, I mean...
There's talks, though, that this actress might be related to... So, like, he'll have dated the grandma and then dated the granddaughter. That's hot.
You know, it would be awesome. Like, well, this wouldn't be awesome. It would be messed up. But, like, so if it turns out to be her granddaughter.
No, it can't be. And,
it's
his kid.
It's his kid.
His grandkid.
A little Game of Thrones action.
I don't actually understand that reference, I don't think. But that's okay.
Okay.
Okay, but don't spoil me. Let's see. Can I go to a different news piece, or do you have some more?
I have one more piece of news.
Just save it, because I have a lot. I'll run through it.
Okay.
The last episode of news that we did was equal in length to our main topic episode.
I know.
So
you are a news hound.
I mean, I take this pretty seriously. This is not just
I mean that as a compliment.
Yeah.
That's why you're on the A squad.
Thank you.
That's why Daniel Butcher got promoted to the A squad.
Yeah, because he's
got some quality news.
Yeah, and
in.
He's got the inside track with Disney. I love that about him.
And that's why Cubby got devoted to the Z squad.
I have to say, just like you left the Sci-Fi Christian for a bit to go to Rick Lee James's podcast, Voices in My Head, Daniel Butcher left the Sci-Fi Christian for a bit to go to Strangers and Aliens.
He was
featured extensively on an episode that hasn't been released yet, and I don't know what it's about. I think probably Disney. But no. So watch for that.
Yeah. Daniel should start a Disney podcast. He'd be good at it.
He should.
Yeah.
I'll do it with you, Daniel, if you're listening to this. We can use Ryan Strelo Studios.
I believe that the H squad slot is still open for that one, Daniel. So what get mean, it H? Before.
Oh. No, he could just be 18 for a different podcast.
No.
Speaking of different podcasts, I was at church the other day thinking about the Bible Trivia podcast.
Yeah, when are we going to do that?
Well, I was thinking I just need to set a date, a launch day.
Yeah.
So first week of March, it's coming. That gives me a deadline. I can figure out the format. I can figure out who my co-host will be. Obviously, Ben DeBono's on the list.
What do you mean on the list? I am the list.
High five.
Yeah.
So, Bible Trivia Podcast coming March 2013, first week.
You think you're safe. You are not.
What does that mean for the Bible Trivia Podcast?
It means exactly what it says.
You read Watchmen long ago. One of the editors of the original book was Len Wein.
Do you know that him? Is a funny name.
I might be pronouncing it wrong. It could quite possibly be Len Wein, but I think Wein. He left the show because...
It wasn't a show.
He left the book because he was mad that Alan Moore didn't come up with a more interesting end to the story. So...
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil it, but...
Giant squid.
Giant monster attacks... The reason Len didn't like this idea is because the exact same idea was done in an episode of The Outer Limits.
Yeah. Come on, Alan, be more original.
That's exactly it.
I know, that's his quote. I read this a couple weeks ago.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, here it says. I
guess maybe I'm a news hound, too. I'm just not doing a good job of marking it down.
I kept telling him, be more original, Alan. You've got the capability. Do something different, not something that's already been done. And he didn't seem to care enough to do that. So Len left the book. Then, right now... happened.
Yeah.
And right now, DC is putting out Before Watchmen. What do you think about these prequels?
I haven't read any of them. I've been very amused, though, by the backstory of Alan Moore's war against Before Watchmen.
Yeah.
You know that he said he considered it immoral for people to read Before Watchmen.
I want to read them all, eventually, when they're all in trade, but not
That'd
yet.
Be hysterical if I go to confession.
And you do, Father.
Father, I've read Before Watchmen.
Yeah. So Len is back on Watchmen now doing Before Watchmen, and he had a chance to get Alan Moore back. Do you know what he did?
Nope.
He actually wrote into the story in Before Watchmen that, is it Ozman? How do you say this guy's name?
Ozyman? I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird. Ozymandias.
Give it a shot.
Yeah. One of the villains in the story, he actually got the idea for the monster from the TV show Outer Limits. So he wrote into the book that they stole the idea.
Wow.
So he got his revenge years later.
That's
good for you,
awesome.
Len.
Yeah.
Next
take
story.
Take that, science.
Hey, you want to go to Take That, Science?
Yeah, we might as well.
All right. Hit it again.
Take that, science.
In the first Take That, Science news, Earth is now on the edge. when it comes to are we a habitable zone for life.
Take that, science!
Here's the story. James Casting, who originally developed the definition of what the habitable zone is, has been involved in a new study. So originally, it was the area in a solar system in which a planet can contain liquid water too close to a star, and any water that could be on the planet will vaporize too far and it will freeze. Planets like Earth are in that just right position relative to their star to support life. But Cassini now, with his new study, found out that he miscalculated in his equation, and the limits that he's been setting were wrong. Oops. Therefore, and they're actually finding this out by finding more planets that have proof of possible past life, or water, I should say.
Yeah.
So, now that they've recalculated, they've had to add more planets to the habitable zone, and it turns out Earth is actually on the edge. It's close to not being habitable.
Oh.
Luckily, we...
made it.
Luckily, we believe in God. Otherwise, this would be really scary.
Yeah. Take that, science!
In the next Take That, Science news, we've got some people that are, again, researchers, economists, actually, that are worrying that if we make first contact with aliens in the next 10 years, we won't be ready.
Oh, yeah. I believe that.
Yeah.
Take that, science!
So, turns out there was this forum called the World Economic Forum.
I suppose it depends on the aliens, though.
Yeah, that's true. Like, if they blow us up, I mean, yeah, we're not ready.
Yeah, but like if...
they don't want to talk.
Yeah, if the aliens are just idiots, then we might have a chance.
So, at this World Economic Forum held in Switzerland, they identified 5 unheralded dangers that could sneak up on us in the coming years. So, basically, just to summarize, the idea is that, socially-wise, our society is not prepared for the philosophical ramifications of discovering alien life.
Yeah.
And so, here's what a quote from the study. Given the pace of space exploration, it is increasingly conceivable that we may discover the existence of alien life or other planets that could support human life. In 10 years' time, we may have evidence not only that Earth is not unique, but also that life exists elsewhere in the universe. It will suggest that life is as natural and as ubiquitous as a part of the universe. as ubiquitous a part of the universe as the stars and galaxies. The discovery of even simple life would fuel speculation about the existence of other intelligent beings and challenge many assumptions that underpin human philosophy and religion.
No!
Yeah. So
this would actually be kind of exciting because I'm, you know, I want to be a theologian. And so that'd be like an exciting time to be a theologian in. What are the theological ramifications of that?
I thought of immediately when I read this article.
Us?
Yeah, episode 2.
Yeah.
We tackled this. And because of this article and because it kind of got me excited again, I'm going to release in February 2013. February 2013, you will see the return of the Sci-Fi Christian Time Loop. Yeah, that's right. Stop that, man.
Needed at least one more.
You thought it was gone, but it's coming back. So
and that's not appropriate in any way.
Okay, stop that. I'm trying to make an announcement
here. Bono jumped off.
Stop doing that. I'm trying to make an announcement.
I would say yes.
So watch for an episode all about if extraterrestrial life is compatible with the Bible. Okay.
No!
Okay. Moving on. This is really cool. Take that, science.
Uh-huh. Take that, science.
Scientists have captured their first video of thoughts being formed. Did you see this?
No.
Yes. So in Japan, they found out a way to map out zebrafish brains. Okay. So
that's the stuff.
They have some sort of like light show type thing where when thoughts are being processed in this fish brain, it lights up. And so they can scan it. And so here is a description of the experiment. Researchers were able to image visual perception in the fish using a new tool designed just for the purpose, a super sensitive fluorescent probe that detects neuron activity, causing neurons to light up when they're activated. In this case, the images are of the activity in neurons as a zebrafish watches a paramecium flit around it, registering the movement of its prey. So it's preparing to eat this little thing, and it's watching, and we were watching the brain work. Amazing.
Amazing.
That's the wrong one. Just say, take that, science.
Take that, science.
Thank you.
Did you hear the end of that?
Yeah, it always goes like that.
I guess I never noticed that before. That's hysterical.
Don't play it again. Okay. No, stop playing. I'm going to take away your soundboard. This is your last warning.
That's hysterical.
This is your last warning, Ben.
Sorry.
Next, I'll take that myself. Science.
Oops, sorry. Take that, science.
Another asteroid.
You've got a lot of take that science.
I actually, this is one of my favorite features of the news.
It is fun.
Another asteroid is coming close to Earth, but this is the closest one yet. We've been covering this on
I saw that.
Yeah, we've been covering this on recent Sapphire Christian news
episodes. It's going to happen like in a month, isn't it?
February 15th. This is what is going to happen. The asteroid is going to come within 17,200 miles of the planet's surface. It's not going to hit us, so let me just get that out of the way. We're totally safe. But it's going to actually pass within the geosynchronous ring, which means that it will briefly be closer to Earth than many communication satellites that are either geosynchronous or geostationary orbits. Wow.
You think you're safe. You are not.
So a planetary scientist said, this is a record-setting close approach. So single regular sky surveys began in the 1990s. We've never seen an object this big get so close to Earth. Wow. What do you think, Ben?
The dinosaurs are like, you guys are a bunch of wimps.
Yeah, trust me. It's worse.
It gets a lot worse.
But if you did want to like watch for it in the sky, bad news.
Not going to happen.
It's going to be traveling twice the width of the moon every minute. So it's going to be pretty hard to track. They're calling it racing across the sky.
That's original.
Yep. Finally, the last, take that science.
Take that science.
Science has proven that pretending to be a superhero can actually make you a better person.
You know, I actually have a point to make here, and that's, I'm going to say, take that, Matt Anderson.
Why?
You were saying earlier there's no point to playing video games. Mm-hmm. Did you know video games actually have the same effect?
Of what?
Pretending to be a superhero makes you a better person. And playing video games makes you more successful. There was a TED Talk on this. Remember TED Talks?
Yeah, I remember TED Talks. Yeah. Just watched one last night about math class.
There's a TED Talk from some lady who was researching video games, and apparently playing video games helps make you a more successful person.
Oh, I'm more likely to believe it if you pick a proper type of video game, because what this study showed, actually here's an explanation straight from Live Science. To see if embodying a helpful role in virtual reality made people more helpful afterward, scientists had 60 volunteers don virtual reality helmets and engage in scenarios where they were either given the power of flight or they rode as passengers in a helicopter. They were also designed one...
Almost the same.
They needed to have two different...
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So they were also assigned one of two tasks. They had to tour a virtual city or help find a missing diabetic child in need of insulin in that city. Okay, so they had these two sets. Then, after the virtual simulation was over, a bunch of pens were, in quotes, accidentally knocked onto the floor. The result? Well, the six people who did not partake in the Superman-style flight didn't bother to help pick up any of the pens, but the people that had flown across the sky and had acted like heroes were more likely to help out. So here's from one of the researchers, actually a psychologist. The experience of superflight in and of itself appears to be the salient variable that led people to help outside of virtual reality.
That doesn't prove that much. I mean, picking up pens is not that exciting.
It just like makes you more helpful. They're also looking to see if virtual reality games in this style could aid with phobias or post-traumatic stress. So the study itself concluded this. Whereas much research has been done on whether and how violent video games can lead to aggressive behavior, this is the first study to document that the next technology in video gaming, which is virtual reality, has the potential to facilitate pro-social behavior by allowing players to become superheroes.
Dun, 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 dun. Take that, science!
So, I think it could go both ways, to speak to what you just said. If you're playing a game that is helpful and you're saving people, then maybe it'll make you more helpful. But if you're playing a game like Grand Theft Auto where you're robbing and killing, it might make you more likely to want to kill.
Maybe.
For example, flashback, 2003. Matt Anderson purchased a video game for PlayStation 2 called Enter the Matrix.
Yeah.
I played it for hours.
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 There were parts of it where you would jump from building to building and crash through windows.
Yeah.
Well, this is true. One day, I was walking in real life, not in the Matrix, and there was a window in front of me.
How do you know?
And instead of wanting to walk down the stairs to just get outside, I thought, what if I just jump through this window?
Did you do it?
I didn't, because I realized this is not a video game.
I'm not sure what that story proves.
Proven.
Yeah.
Take that, science.
Okay, do you want, did you have more you want to say?
Are we ready for last news of the day?
No.
Not even close?
We have Stan Lee.
Okay.
We've got... Oh, here's some quick notes.
Then, no, I don't have anything to say.
Quick notes. The Muppets sequel has been entitled The Muppets... again.
Again, with Ricky Gervais.
The Amazing Spider-Man 2 may have a second villain added on top of Electro. Have you heard who it is?
Rhino.
Do you know who might play
him? Paul Giamatti.
How unexpected has this been?
Not that unexpected. I mean, I wasn't expecting it, so I suppose it's unexpected in that standpoint, but I'm not like...
Well, Rhino,
I haven't even seen Amazing Spider-Man yet.
Rhino is known as a pretty beefy, strong brawler character, whereas Paul Giamatti is a small guy.
That's a different take on the character. He's like the runt of the litter.
Yeah, the runt of the litter. Do you know who Dominic Monaghan is?
Yeah, Mary.
Yep, from Lord of the Rings. Yeah. And Charlie from Lost. Yeah,
and he has not seen the end of Lost.
That is my news. He hasn't watched the finale, and he said the reason is...
I saw this piece on news and deemed it not newsworthy, but I...
Well, it's obviously Lost-related. I had to check it out. The reason is he didn't watch the finale when it was originally airing because he was getting ready to shoot something else. And he said he's really influenced by watching himself act and he didn't want to bring any of Charlie into this other character.
Yeah.
But then after all that was all over, he had kind of forgotten what was going on Lost. And so he felt like he was going to have to go back to the beginning of the show, watch it all the way through just to watch the finale.
That's bad when the people on your show can't tell what's going on.
So instead of taking that time commitment, he just hasn't watched it yet. Almost three years later.
Well, if we could get him on the show, we could do like a spinoff, Matt and Dominic rewatch Lost.
That would be pretty fun.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen.
You told me this wasn't newsworthy.
It's not.
But should we talk about Firefly?
Oh, yeah, it's not newsworthy.
Just bring it up real quick.
They're saying they want to do another Firefly, but until somebody actually says it's going to happen, it's not news.
Yeah, that's fair. I think I have two other pieces of news, then we can go to Stan Lee, and then last news of the day.
Okay, let's hit it.
There is a young adult book called Matched. Have you heard of it?
Nope.
It is being adapted into a movie by Disney, and the director, you haven't heard this yet?
I have no idea what this news is.
John Chu might be the new director of Matched.
I have no idea who John Chu is.
Do you want to know what Matched is about?
No, because I don't really like the young adult.
You don't like that genre? We did a whole episode on young adult fiction.
We should do another one on it, because I kind of want to complain about it.
What? That's why you want to do the next episode, though, on fandom. We can't just do episodes when you want to complain.
Yes, we can. We do other ones when, you know, I'm not complaining.
I'm just going to read this because I think it's interesting. Cassia has... Oh, this is the description for Matched by Ali Condi. Cassia has always trusted the society to make the right choices for her. What to read, what to watch, what to believe.
Oh, my gosh. Another dystopian young adult?
Wait.
This is what I want to complain about.
So when Xander's face appears on screen at her matching ceremony, Cassia knows he is her ideal mate. Until she sees Kai Markham's face flash for an instant before the screen fades to black. The society tells her it's a glitch, a rare malfunction, and that she should focus on the happy life she's destined to lead with Xander. But Cassia can't stop thinking about Kai, and as they slowly fall in love, Cassia begins to doubt the society's infallibility and is faced with an impossible choice between Xander and Kai, between the only life she's known and a path that no one else has dared to follow.
That honestly sounds like one of the worst stories ever written.
It's actually a trilogy.
Oh, that's not... See, this is the problem with young adult fiction, is that it's all dystopian, it's all trilogy, it's all crap. I just saved you a little editing
there.
Thank
you. Appreciate that. All right. Let's go to Stanley.
Is this John Cho as in the Harold and Kumar guy?
I don't think so. I think it's John Chu, C-H-U.
C-H-U. Stan Lee quote of the week?
While I'm loading up Stan Lee quote of the week, I did want to bring up to you, speaking of YouTube, that I did a quick check. Dance of Dragons, the review that you did. Last week we mentioned it was just below 10,000. Well, good news.
Yeah.
Do you know what you're at this week?
Is it 10,072? That's my guess.
Well, as of 3:30 earlier today, you were at 10,119.
Yay! Ben,
Weird. Good for you.
Take that, science.
And now, for the Stan Lee quote of the week.
Do you, want me to hit it?
Yeah, do you have it?
Oh, yeah, I do.
It's the Stan Lee quote of the week.
Stan's Brands.
Yeah, I heard about this movie Prometheus, and boy, it sounded good to me. But then I found out it's a prequel to Alien. Why do people make prequels? I mean, I already know what happened in Alien. Think about it. What would the prequel to The Hulk be? Bruce Banner in college getting a PhD or whatever the hell he got, going through book after book? That would be really exciting. How surprising can a prequel be? Because you know it's going to happen later. I don't like prequels. In fact, the Academy better never put a prequel up for an award, because they'll hear from me, and in my righteous wrath, they better just all watch out. Excelsior, god.
that's awesome.
Good. I mean, you see the little alien. Maybe there's another big alien teaching the little alien how to be bad. Come to think of it, am I getting paid for this rant? Who do I talk to about this?
That's a Stan Lee quote of the week.
I'm sorry, I don't usually play this one, so I'm...
Oh, no, I got it right
here. It's a Stan Lee quote of the week.
Bing. That was pretty funny, huh?
Yeah.
I kind of agree with him on prequels. I mostly hate them.
Yeah, well, but he's kind of hypocritical, though, because comic books are always going back to origin stories, and quite frankly, you always know what's going to happen in a comic book. There's really very little surprise, and, you know... Using that logic, something like Schindler's List is a terrible movie because we all know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I guess. On the heels of Stan Lee, some quick first-class news. X-Men first-class, that is. Days of Future Past, we talked about last week. Turns out an official press release has gone out for casting, and it is going to take place 11 years after First Class.
Oh, no.
Which is weird because originally they had told how they wanted the second movie to start, and it was going to be at the JFK assassination.
Yeah.
And they're skipping past that now. So the official release says most of the film takes place in 1973.
I'm going to read you John Chu's filmography.
We're still on this.
Step Up 2, The Streets.
Okay.
Step Up 3D.
Uh-huh.
The Legion of Extraordinary Dancers.
Oh, wow. I thought you were... Well, either way is bad.
Justin Bieber, Never Say Never.
You're lying to me.
No, I'm not. G.I. Joe Retaliation.
Hey, that's not so bad.
And Masters of the Universe.
Is that out or is that coming out?
I don't know. 2015.
That's He-Man. That's what Masters of the Universe
so
is.
So those all suck.
That doesn't sound good for Matched.
It does not. It is... Not the director that Match needs, but the director Match deserves.
Nice, I like it.
Yes.
Back to Days of Future Past. Mark Miller is his name. He is saying...
We should just start pronouncing it Millar.
Well, it's spelled with an A, but it's pronounced Miller.
Yeah.
So Mark Miller, he says, Sentinels are going to be a big feature of this movie.
No.
You don't like Sentinels?
It's just... Everything we hear about this movie makes me more angry that it's happening.
He also says that Kitty Pryde is a big part of this movie. That's okay, right? You like Ellen Page?
Yeah.
All right, I have one piece of news left. Do you have a last piece of news of the day?
This is like your 15th one last news left.
No.
Yeah, I have a last news of the day.
All right, you do yours, then I'll do mine.
Okay. Everybody loves Benedict Cumberbatch.
Is yours like pretty good? Like you want it to be the official last?
No, it's okay. Not really even sci-fi.
Oh, crap.
Benedict Cumberbatch is being cast as mathematician Alan Turing in a movie called The Intimidation Game, or Imitation Game.
Good for him.
The end of that news.
All right. Well, here we go. Time for our final segment of the day.
Last news of the day. I think that's one of my favorite songs we've done.
In last news of the day, I have something that I picked it to be last because it leads directly into our next episode that we can tease in. It's going to make you furious. Which I always look forward to.
I know.
And it's overall interesting if you're a comic book fan.
Okay.
So, since Avengers have come out, there's been speculation on will the Hulk, who was kind of the breakout star of the movie, will he get his own movie? Kevin Feige has been saying no, not yet, but maybe down the road. Definitely not part of Phase 2 yet.
Yeah.
But looks like it might be during Phase 3. So, this, what I'm about to tell you, does spoil comic book stories from like 10 years ago. So if you're behind, then don't listen to this.
Which everyone is.
Because this could, these comic book stories could be used to formulate Phase 3. So here we go. After Avengers 2, something could... I have to say also, this is not set in stone. This is all rumor. Total rumor. When I first heard they might make a Hulk movie, I was mad, but then I heard what they might do, which is kind of cool. Avengers 2, Hulk may do something crazy, like just super destructive, to the point where the heroes don't find him safe anymore and think they need to get rid of the Hulk.
Yeah.
So there is a storyline in comics called Planet Hulk where this happened, where... have you heard of Planet Hulk?
Yeah.
It's basically...
Is that where She-Hulk is?
No. Let me tell you the whole story.
Okay.
Planet Hulk is basically a story where Hulk has done so much bad, like, he's so... uncontrollable. Not that Bruce Banner is bad, but that the Hulk is so uncontrollable, they actually banish the Hulk and send him to a far-off planet, like, and he can't get back to Earth. While on this planet, he gets enslaved, and it becomes basically the storyline from the Gladiator, to the point of he's in Gladiator-type games, and he kind of rises up as this hero, and he gets a band of people. No sun clips. Let me tell you the whole story before you react. Okay. So that's the storyline called Planet Hulk. And then he eventually, this is all spoilers, he eventually finds love. He has a child on this planet. But guess what? He eventually needs to go back to Earth. So he finds a way. But he's super mad because these heroes, because the people that sent them weren't like bad guys. It was Tony Stark, Reed Richards, Professor X, Doctor Strange. Anyways, it was all the people that go by the name the Illuminati, if you know who that is.
Uh-huh.
So he goes back to Earth, but he's not alone. He's brought his army from the planet that he's now ruling. And then it goes into the storyline, World War Hulk, which is Hulk versus the whole Marvel Universe with his army from this planet. So the idea is Hulk's standalone movie could be Planet Hulk, and then Avengers 3, World War Hulk. Thoughts?
World War Hulk sounds like it could be decent, but... Planet Hulk sounds really, really sucky. Please don't let that happen. It's a little prayer.
So that was just a rumor. Not for sure, but interesting if it's true.
I hope it doesn't
happen. And that was our...
last news of the day. Well, that's some good news.
Yeah, pretty good news. So
some bad news.
Ben, at the end of this episode, we're going to tease what's coming up next, but we have a pretty awesome main topic episode coming up where you get to rant. So if you like Ben's ranting, tune in.
Ben's rant.
Well, that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
I am Ben DiBono. We are the Sci-Fi Christians.
Signing off.
Matt usually does that line, but he was eating some more dinner.
I just been picking up my fork in preparation.
Yeah. Well, we'll play that triple pope again.
Oh, yeah. Okay, at the very end, because first...
That's a teaser.
Next time on the Sci-Fi Christian...
fandom. Is it good? Is it bad? Does it suck? Find out why the answer to all of the above is yes.
Ooh, good. All right. I'm ready for triple pope.
Okay.
So long, folks.
Have a good dinner, Matt.
Thank you. Separated the church, and there ended up being two popes, Ben. This is crazy.
Double popes.
Yeah, double popes. So one in Avignon and one in Rome.
Whoa.
Yeah.
It's a full-on double pope.
In two popes, Ben. This is crazy.
Double popes.
Yeah, double popes. So one in Avignon and one in Rome.
Whoa.
Yeah.
It's a full-on double pope. All the way across the sky.
That's very good. In two popes, Ben. This is crazy.
Double popes.
Yeah, double pope.
Everything is proceeding. I have foreseen.
That for a time, there were three popes.
Looks like it's starting to look like a triple pope. What does it mean? That's not that bad.
He ended up becoming the master pope. I don't know what you call them.
It's a trap!
That's wild. One pope to rule them all. One pope to find them.
Exactly.
One pope to bring them all and in the darkness find them. In the land of Mordor where the shadows lie.